Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 9, and then I'll be going to the book of Romans. Genesis 4 and verse 9. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in church this morning. Amen. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Let's look at Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse number 12. Romans 14 and verse number 12. So then every one of us, everybody say that's me. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself. I want to preach in your hearing for the next little while with the Lord's help, the keeper of the soul, the keeper of the soul. The Lord asked Cain a question, where is Abel? His reply was, am I my brother's keeper? And so from that I want to use as a subject title, the keeper of the soul. Let's lift up our hands. And church, I'm asking you to help me pray earnestly. Jesus, I'm asking you to help us today. I'm praying, God, for your anointed touch. I know, God, that we desperately need your help. We need your anointing. Without it, it's impossible for us to be a success this morning. There's no success without the anointing of your Spirit. There's no spiritual work that can be accomplished without you sanctioning it. And I'm praying your blessing, your favor. Let me hear your voices, church. Lift up your voice to the Lord. God gave us a voice to pray and seek Him, and we need to do that now. I'm praying, Lord Jesus, that you would help us. I'm praying, oh God, that you would touch our lives and stir our souls and let your Spirit get a hold of us, everyone. We thank you, Jesus. We give praise to you, precious God. In Jesus' name. And could the church say amen? Thank you so much for standing, and you may be seated. The keeper of the soul. Ever since the very beginning of time when God created man, or really time as we know it, God has desired to have a relationship with man. As far back as human history that we can look into, back with that first man, Adam, the scripture says that he walked with him in the cool of the day. You've heard me talk about that in times past and how this was a great privilege that Adam would have to be able to walk with God, to be able to spend time in the presence of the Lord and be able to converse, as it appears here, with the Lord himself. And when Adam did not show up for his daily appointment because of the sin that he had partaken of, he and his wife, this was cause for concern. And the scripture tells us that God immediately comes with questions. He said, where art thou, Adam? Where art thou? He went searching for him. And this tells me something very special about man's relationship with God. And that is that God noticed Adam's absence for that appointment. That ought to quicken somebody's heart today. That ought to make somebody really feel good that God notices when we're absent in His presence. That God cares enough about the people that I am preaching to here this morning. That if you have the daily routine of talking to Him, coming before Him, worshiping Him, being in His presence, that when you do not show up for that appointment, that God took note of it when it concerned Adam. He called after him. He said, "Where art thou?" And we know that eventually Adam was able to rectify the situation. He was able to be restored in his relationship with God, or it appears that way. And in time, he must have taught his sons, both Cain and Abel, the necessity of an altar, the necessity of taking the responsibility upon themselves to come before the Lord and worship and spend time in His presence, that there was someone that they needed to pay tribute to. There's someone that they needed to make room for Him in their lives. That they could not live their lives just selfishly. They could not live their lives only for themselves. But there was a God in heaven, and they owed Him worship. They owed Him sacrifices. And so these two gentlemen had enough sense and wherewithal to build an altar. We know the story of how that Cain brought an insufficient sacrifice unto God, and Abel, on the other hand, brought one that was acceptable. He brought a blood sacrifice to the Lord. And as a result of Abel's sacrifice being acceptable to God and Cain's being rejected, indignation rose up in the heart of this man Cain. Jealousy against his brother. And the scripture says that in an act of jealousy and envy, he slew him. And again, I want you to note that quickly it seems that God immediately comes with almost the same question as was asked when Adam did not show up for his appointment at the altar. He said to Cain, he said, "Where is your brother? I once heard a voice lifted in worship to me. I once was able to look down and see an altar that had been prepared for me that Abel had built. I once was able to notice a sacrifice that was placed upon that altar that Abel had presented unto me. But now there's silence. Now I cannot hear him lifting up his voice and crying out to me in worship. He's absent, and I've noticed that he's not showing up like he once did." Again, that ought to warm the heart. That ought to cause somebody to be encouraged here this morning. But I want to take just a moment and back up here and talk to people that have perhaps walked away from God. And what I mean by walking away from God is not necessarily that you've quit the church or that you don't show up to the house of God at the appointed time or that you do not frequent these premises at the scheduled time that we have services. But perhaps you've allowed your heart to grow indifferent and you've become callous towards God and cold towards God. I want to speak to the backslidden in heart and tell you that the Lord misses the time that He used to spend with you. He misses you as a worshiper. He misses you as a prayer warrior. If you used to be someone that was praising in His presence and worshiping God with fervence, if you used to be one that lifted up your voice unashamedly when you came to the sanctuary and gave thanksgiving and praise unto God. Can I tell you that God still desires that? And with your absence or with your leaving off of those sacrifices of praise, with you not being involved as you once were, with you not being red hot for God as you once were, with you not being as consecrated and committed as perhaps you once were, God misses His time with you. We can see evidence by this scripture that I read to you, that when somebody don't show up to the altar, when somebody once had a place in the presence of God, and for whatever reason they are absent from it, and there is a myriad of reasons why a person doesn't show up to their place and worship God as they used to. I'm not talking about just coming to church. I hope you understand. I'm not just speaking of being here present and having a check by your name that you're present in the house of God. I'm not talking about that this morning. But I'm talking about you being engaged and you really showing up. Not just being here in body, but being here in spirit. And getting a hold of God and seeking after God. And rending your heart before the Lord. And with every service desiring to improve your relationship with God. Isn't that what church is all about? Is us improving our relationship with God. That I'm obviously not all that I need to be. I'm striving for perfection. I'm striving to draw closer. Amen. His word admonishes me to draw nigh unto God. And as I do, He'll draw nigh unto me. That's why we have worship service. That's why we have pre-service prayer. That's why we have preaching of the Word of God, is that we, no matter how long we've been a part of the church, and we consider ourselves members of the church, and no matter how long we can go back and talk about the years of what we used to be for God, it's important that we're still fervent, that we're still sold out, that we're still committed, that we're still on fire. Come on, does somebody hear me preach this morning? That we're still concerned about our relationship with God. That we're still in this thing for the right reasons. That our motives are still pure. That our heart is still right. That over the years we haven't allowed things to skew our mind and mess up our spirit that used to be so hungry and so thirsty for the presence of God. Amen. And life has a way of doing that, folks. There's circumstances, there's situations in life that causes us, if we're not careful, to become jaded and become skewed in our minds and our thought processes. That's why we need church. That's why we need the house of God. That's why we need the preaching of the Word of God. That's why you need a preacher in your life. That's why you need one that'll walk down your pew every once in a while and get where you're at and preach to you. Preach to where you're living. Not speaking only in generalities and not just talking about a feel-good religion. Amen. But to get down where the rubber meets the road so that you can be changed, so that you can be stirred, so that a difference can be made in your life. Oh, let it soak in, God. Let it soak in. I'm going to drive this nail home this morning. Matter of fact, I'm going to bend it on the backside so that it doesn't come out. I said, I'm going to clench it off on the backside so that it stays where it belongs. I'm going to set this thing deep in somebody's heart this morning. I'm not near through, so you better get ready. I'm going to preach to you today what the Lord has laid upon my heart. Backslider, God misses you. He misses your prayers. He misses your tears. He misses your humble heart. He misses you coming to an altar and pouring yourself out and crying out to Him. He misses the brokenness. He misses, maybe it was back there when you didn't have anything. Maybe it was back there when your life was in shambles. Maybe it was back there when you was just a broken piece, a pottery as it were. You didn't have much to offer to God, but now He's blessed you and now He's been good to you. And suddenly we don't have time like we used to pray. We don't have time for worship service like we used to. We don't have time to spend really quality time in the altar like we used to. Oh, somebody needs to realize that ain't how I got in this thing. And that isn't how I'm going to be saved either. If I'm going to be saved, I'm going to have to make up my mind to get back to that place. I'm going to have to get back to fervent prayer. I'm going to have to get back to fervent worship. I'm preaching to somebody here this morning. You rest assured, God's gave me a message for someone in this place. You need to be shaken to your toes today. You need to realize that we're in a race with the rapture and Jesus is coming back. And where are you when it comes to your soul being ready to meet God? Amen, amen, amen. It's easy to drift. It's easy to lose your moorings. It's easy to kind of slip away, but God misses. He misses. I know what it is as a pastor, and I'm just revealing my heart this morning to look out on a congregation, and when there's people that are absent that you know need to be there, you know that they're away from God, or maybe they're not where they need to be with God. Your heart is stirred. I look across this place and I remember places where people used to worship and stand in the presence of God, where people used to pray and pray fervently, used to be used of the Lord magnificently. And my heart is stirred and broken this morning that they're not in this ark of safety, that they're not living for God as they once were. I remember different places in town and places that we used to go together and perhaps have fellowship. And when I go there, I'm reminded of them. I'm reminded of how dear they were to me and to this church and how much I love their soul. And, in fact, there's times when I don't even want to be in those places because it takes me back and it reminds me of that particular person. And because I love the souls of the people in this congregation, I love the souls of folks that I preach to, amen, and that I try. I want everybody to be saved. I want everybody to come to God. I want everybody to have equal chance. I want everybody to be able to find an altar and get it right. Amen. That's what we're here for. That's why God called us. That's why God anoints us, is to reach for souls. And it stirs my heart and breaks the heart of the shepherd to look out and see folks that for whatever reason they got off track, for whatever reason they walked away from God. And it's troubling to me. But have you ever imagined how God must feel when He looks and He sees and He notices where there used to be somebody that was crying out to Him, where there used to be someone that was praying and seeking Him and calling on His name? There used to be somebody that was consistent and constant in their worship to God and in their praise to God. And He received so much from it. It was such a blessing to the kingdom. And their talents and their abilities were dedicated to the Lord and consecrated to God. And they had a heart to serve God. And suddenly something has caused them to drift away. Perhaps He's even looking in this congregation, peeping over into this room today at souls that once used to be worshipers, really fervent for God. Started out, amen, God, I just want to be used. God, I just want to be saved. God, I just want You to favor and bless my life. Amen. And he misses his time with You. He misses You in the altar. He misses Your burden. He misses Your prayers. He misses Your worship. He misses Your consecration. Praise God. God, stir us up. Move on us here this morning. He wants us to come back. And maybe maybe we could take it a step further and we could talk to somebody that's never even been a child of God. Maybe you've never really experienced the power of His Spirit. You never really experienced what it is to be baptized in His name. Can I tell you, the Bible tells me in the book of Romans, because sin in the world and death by sin, there's been a separation, and there's been something that's come between you and God, and you're not your own. Amen. You weren't created just to live life for yourself, but He desires to have a relationship with you. He desires to draw close to you. He desires you to stand in His presence. He wants you to be a worshiper. He wants you to be a praiser. He wants you to be consecrated. He wants you to be committed to Him. He wants to save your soul. That's the desire of God. That's the longing of God. Amen. God asked Cain, "Where is thy brother?" Cain replied, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Do I tell him when to get up in the morning? Do I tell him when to go to bed at night? Do I feed him? Do I prepare his meals? Do I clothe him? Do I manage his life and his affairs? No! Am I my brother's keeper?" And we learn something here. There's something that only you are responsible for. Especially when it comes to your relationship and your commitment to God. Cain, at least in this point, was right. Am I my brother's keeper? There's a certain aspect of this that I cannot be accountable for. There's a certain aspect of this, God, that you cannot expect me to be a keeper of. There's a certain part of this, God, that I'm exempt from. I'm not responsible for all of Abel's decision. Now, we know and we understand that Cain was being deceitful here, but the premise of this is that he said, "I am not my brother's keeper. I don't manage the affairs of his life." And he was correct in saying that. There's some things that you cannot keep. Nobody can keep for you, in other words, but you have to keep them for yourself. And you're the only one that is responsible for those things. And that is why the Apostle Paul makes this statement: "So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God." Can I tell you that you are the keeper of your soul? You're the one that's responsible for your soul. The scripture says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling." I can't work it out as much as I'd like to get people to come and pray through and give them the Holy Ghost. And I'd like to save them myself. I'd like to get them in the ark of safety, the church. I'd like to know that they were ready. There's some things I'll never be able to do. As persuasive as I could be, I can use all the persuasion that I have humanly. And I certainly cannot depend upon that. I depend upon the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But basically, it comes down to you making a choice and you making a decision and you making up your mind, because you're the keeper of your soul. There's nobody else going to give that account in judgment. Your mama's not going to stand in for you. Your daddy isn't going to be able to stand in for you. Your brothers or your sisters won't be able to stand. Another saint in the church isn't going to be able to answer for you, but you'll have to give an account for yourself. Every one of us that is in this building, Paul said, we are the keeper of our own soul. It's up to us. It's our decision whether or not we'll pray at the conclusion of this service. Your decision. Whether or not there'll be worship, whether or not somebody comes
comes to God, your decision. Whether or not somebody's blessed and somebody receives a touch from the Lord, your decision. Whether or not somebody worships, whether or not somebody prays, whether or not somebody seeks God, your decision. You're the keeper of the soul, and you've got to make up your mind. I can't make it up for you. I cannot force you. I cannot make this all-important decision for you in life. But you have to make this decision. You have to make this choice. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. I'm going to drive it home. Luke chapter number 12. And the Bible tells us that he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. He was blessed and he was prospered. Good things had came his way. But I'm going to reveal to you a contrast of how I see things and you see things and how God sees things. We would look at this situation and say, man, this looks like a good deal. We would look at this situation and it looks like this guy is on top. He's doing so well. He's so blessed. He's having to expand. His crops have come in. He's having to tear down barns and build greater barns. He doesn't even have enough room to bestow his goods. Looks like he's being success. That's the way man looks at it. That's the way you and I see it. That's the way we look upon it. But we're only able to see superficially. We're only able to go so deep. But let's drill down a little bit deeper than that. And let's see, God gives us insight in Luke chapter 12 of how he sees things. And he sees something that man cannot see. That's where the story would end if it was you and I. Is this old man was blessed. God was good to him. He had to build greater barns, his crops. I mean, he couldn't even handle all the harvest. It was wonderful. And he died a success, it appears. But that's not how God looks at it. God looks down deeper than that. He looks beyond the superficial. He scratches beyond the surface. He gets down deep and he sees a conversation that's going on between this man and his soul. He says, oh, soul, take that ease. Eat, drink, be merry. Have much goods laid up for many years. As a matter of fact, we're not going to have to work as hard. We're not going to have to do as much. And everything's going good. Matter of fact, I've had to pull down these old barns and build greater barns. And we got the place just about in tip-top shape. It looks like everything's a success. I mean, everybody has to acknowledge we got favor. We're blessed. We got monetary gain. Everything's going good for us. But there's a soul. If I could say it this way, it was an innocent man that is bound by the decisions of the flesh, that is trapped in that mortal body, that is twisting and turning and wreathing and saying, you don't realize what you're doing to me. You don't know what you're doing to me. You're carrying me down a path of destruction. You're taking me to hell, and I'm going to spend an eternity in that place because you think this is more important, because you think this is where it's at, because you think this is what success is. You think these accomplishments and this money and these things and greater barns are more important than a relationship with God. But I'm telling you, flesh, that's not where it's at. It's in the church you left, in the God you once served, in the prayers you once prayed, in the worship that you used to give to God. That's where it's at. What is that conversation? It was a conversation between the keeper of the soul and the soul itself. I said it was a conversation between the keeper and the soul itself. The soul is doing its part. The soul is crying out. The soul is saying, I'm miserable in all of this.
Why won't you take me to church? Why won't you worship God? Why do you just sit there when the preacher's preaching? Why do you let your mind wander back to the crops and to the fields when you're supposed to be in church? Why are you on your cell phone while the preaching of the Word of God's going forth? Why is it that you're more concerned with what's going on outside these doors than what is here when God is kissing earth and the presence of God is in this place? Why is it that you could be texting somebody out there when I'm trying to get your attention in here? Why is it that you can't seem to be stirred up anymore and convicted anymore? I'm preaching to somebody. I said I'm going to walk these aisles and preach to somebody. Your soul is crying out. Your soul is crying out. Come on now. Come on now. This may be my last chance. This may be my one service. Soul is saying, hey, we got to respond. Come on. Come on. Come on, flesh. Get up. I'm going to wake up the keeper today. I hope to stir up the keeper today. I hope to challenge the keeper today. I hope to get the attention of the keeper today. Some of you are connoisseurs of church, but you wouldn't know the Spirit of God if it slipped up and knocked you upside the head. I could tell by looking at you this morning. Amen. But God is trying to get a hold of somebody. You're in trouble, and God has sent a preacher to preach to you one more time. You're just being here isn't enough, sir. You're just being here isn't enough, ma'am. You better get stirred. You better be moved on again. You better be awakened. You better be challenged. You better get back to conviction. You better let the heart of God touch your heart. There's that counseling session that's going on. Two subjects involved. The soul and the keeper of the soul. Oh, soul. Oh, let's be soothed. It's just Sunday. We've survived many of these. We can survive this one. We can just keep on rocking on like we are. We're doing good. There's no uncomfortable feeling. I mean, look. God obviously has to be approving of our life. Look at all these good blessings and all these things that are going on. Soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Let's go to Luke 15. There was a man that had two sons. And the younger of them said, I'm going to go approach my father. See if I can't get an early inheritance. While I'm still young, I got the desire, I got the longing, still able-bodied. I'm going to go enjoy life. Give me the portion that falleth to me. The Bible said he went to a far country. You ever noted that? He wanted to get as far away from it as he could. Wanted to get as far away from it as he could. The influence, the feeling. But David said, though I ascend into heaven, thou art there. And though I make my bed in hell, you followed me there. I can't get away from this. Went to a far country. Spent his goods on riotous living. And there's our clue. Riotous living. What is that? That's recklessness. That's unrestrained living. That's somebody that doesn't have a keeper. That's somebody that's not in charge. It's like a horse that's run out of the stall. and it's free. It's a danger to itself and those that drive up and down the highways. And it's just running. It doesn't even know why it's running. It's just running. Enjoying its freedom. I don't have any bits in my mouth. I don't have any saddle on my back. I have nobody in charge of me. There's no fences. There's no borders. I'm not restrained. I can do whatever I want to do. I can be whatever I want to be. That's what riotous living is. But suddenly that riotous living led to a place that he never thought it would lead to. And there in the mire, there in the mud, and so hungry that he would fain fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. You got to understand the implications here. This was not just anybody. This was a Jewish boy. He didn't have anything to do with hogs, pigs, swine. He didn't have anything to do with that. He certainly didn't think about eating or feeding them. He'd never raised them in his life. He didn't know their habits. He didn't know anything about them. That wasn't his life or lifestyle. He was a Jewish boy. He didn't belong there, in other words. That he never thought he'd ever end up there. He never thought it would lead to this. He never thought it would become this, but suddenly he's there, and there is this reckoning that takes place. Suddenly, the scripture says, and he came to himself. He came to himself. Suddenly, that keeper comes back. That one that had been evicted, that one that had been told, I don't need you no more. I'm going to live riotously. I'm going to live without restraints. I'm going to live however I want to live, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I don't need you anymore. Suddenly, the keeper comes knocking at the door. He comes to himself. That keeper is wakened up. Amen. That keeper is once again acknowledged that I need your help now. I need your help. And the Bible says that he said within himself. He said within himself. He's having that same conversation. He's having that same conversation. The soul is having a conversation with the keeper of the soul. Saying, you know what? When I was at my father's house, even his servants were doing better than I'm doing. When I was at my father's house, they had bread enough to spare. They didn't know what hunger was. And here I'm perishing. I'm going down by the hour, not just by the day. I'm going down by the moment. Amen. I got to turn some things around. I got to change some things. I can't keep living like this. I can't keep doing like this. This is leading me to a dead end road. This is leading me down a street I don't want to walk. This has got destruction at the end of it. I got to take control of this. I will arise and go back. He's still talking to himself. I will arise and return to my father's house, and I will tell him I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Amen. But if you'll just make me like one of your hired servants, I'd be happy, Daddy, to come back home. You don't even have to call me a son. I'm not worthy to be called your son, but you just give me a place back in your house. You just give me a place over in the servant's corner. I don't want my old bedroom back. I don't want my place at the table back. I don't want my old clothes back. I don't want my position back. All I want is just to get under your roof again some way. If I gotta live in a far corner room, if I gotta stay in a broom closet, it's better than where I've been. I gotta get back. I got to get back. And finally, that soul kept talking. Amen. That keeper kept talking. I said that keeper and the soul kept talking with one another. Till finally he said, all right, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go back, because the Bible said, and he arose and went back to his father's house. He said, I'm coming back. I'm going back. I'm going back. I'm going back. If there's a place for me, I'm going to find it. If I can get forgiveness, I'm going to find it. If I can come underneath the Father's roof, I'm going to get there. Somebody lift up your voice right now. Come to yourself. The keeper is knocking on your soul's door saying, come on now. Come on now. You've been away long enough. You've been prayerless long enough. You've been without really getting in the presence of God long enough. Musicians, please help me. Amen. You've been away from God long enough. You've been in this cold, frigid spiritual condition and state long enough. Keeper, where are you? I'm looking for you. Keeper, where are you? I'm appealing to you. Because it's you that I have to convince. Souls on my side. The souls preaching with me today. The soul's been amening me from the time I cracked this Bible open and started preaching this morning. The soul's been waiting with bated breath for the opportunity. Maybe they're going to give me a chance today. Maybe they're going to give me a chance today. Maybe they're going to give me an opportunity today. Maybe I'll be able to get right today. Maybe they'll be conscious of the fact that I'm lost. Where are you? It's time for somebody to take charge again. Come on. We care for our cars. We maintenance them, we change the oil, we get them tuned up, put new tires on them. We care for them. We have pets, and we make sure that they're groomed and they're fed. If we go out of town, we make sure that there's somebody to take care of them. We take care of our bodies, we diet. Take our medicines on time and we clothe ourselves carefully. All of these things because we're taking care. But there's so much neglect of the soul. So much neglect of the soul. The most important commodity in the world is the soul. It's the soul. I can't tell you how I'm stirred. I'm not just preaching to you. I got a soul too. And the keeper has to get a hold of it sometimes and say, let's get back to the altar. Let's get back to worship. Let's pray through. Let's get right. Let's make some things right. Come on, I want to ask you, how long are you going to hold on to that and let it damn your soul to hell? I want to ask you a straightforward question because I feel it this morning. How long are you going to carry that spirit of unforgiveness and let it damn your soul to hell? You're holding on to something that happened years ago, and you need to come to an altar and get rid of it. Take those blocks off your shoulder and quit carrying them around every time you come to church. And realize this is weighting me down and it's causing me to be lost. And you can justify it and justify it and justify it. You can talk to your soul out of it and you can justify it to your soul. But keeper, you better understand one thing. It's you that's going to give an account. Nobody else. Nobody's standing in for you. Nobody's going to be there to face off in that day besides you. It's you that's going to give an account for your soul. So I'm appealing to you today. And if I didn't challenge you, I didn't do my job. You understand? If I didn't shake you up a little bit and at times get to where you're living, I didn't do my job today. You understand? I'm doing it in the best interest of your soul. Because for a long time you've been MIA. For a long time, you've not been what you needed to be. For a long time, you've not been in the place that you need to be. But you can recover today. You can recover in the presence of the Lord here this morning. Soul, I'm going to yield to God. Simone, it's time somebody take
charge. It's time somebody get in the saddle. It's time somebody take the reins and say, you know, it's me that has a responsibility. It's me that needs to realize what I need to do here today is I need to get it right. What I need to do is I need to pray through. What I need to do is to get my heart where it needs to be before God. Oh, God, I went to God. People wouldn't just come down here and do what they usually do, but I hope to God they come down here and really yield to the Spirit and let something happen of consequence. Let something stir them and let something move on them and let something change them. I went to God somebody would come to this altar today and obey the voice of the Lord. Come on, keeper, where are you? Oh, I miss my time with you. I miss my time with the soul. I'm reaching. I'm trying. It's your choice. It's your decision. It's all in your hands. It's up to you. I can't pray it for you. If I could, I would. I can't ask for you. If I could, I would. I can't get forgiveness for you. If I could, I would. But I feel the anointing, the long hand of God's mercy reaching. Yeah. 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 Oh, I feel like some soul that's been put to sleep years ago is wrestling awake. There's a stir. Oh, there's a stir. There's a stir that's coming. Hallelujah. There's a stir that's coming. There's a stir that's coming. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Help me, God. I don't want to lose one more soul. I don't want to lose one more soul from this sanctuary. God, I want to put up every roadblock. I want to do my best. I hope. Oh, come on, yield, keeper. Lay it down, keeper. Give us a chance, keeper. Oh, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Spirit is moving deep here. There may be an utterance here in just a little bit, but I do feel like the Spirit is calling us deeper. It's not time for us just to quickly get up from this and move from this. But I believe God is trying to use His word that has been preached here this morning to get a hold and waken some soul, some keeper of the soul in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Would you push just a little bit more with me right now? Some of you have gotten so far, but there's a little more that God wants to do here this morning, and if you will allow that to happen and yield to it, God wants to take you back to a place of innocency and purity. God wants to take you back to a place of depth in the Holy Ghost. Back to a connection that you've longed to get restored in your life. God wants to do that. Come on, the Holy Ghost is here. He's calling you deep. He's calling to deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, precious God, help me today. Touch my heart today. Stir my soul today. Awaken me and challenge me. Move on me. Get a hold of me. Come on, the results of this service are going to be far-reaching if we can yield to it. The results of this service are going to be more than just average if we can yield to it. Hallelujah. Oh, precious God. We can open up our heart this morning. I believe the Lord has promised me that He wants to do something big in the lives of people. Oh yes, you're going to look back at this service. If you'll open up your heart, you're going to look back at this service and say it was on that day, that date, that something changed that needed to change in me. There were some things that I wasn't willing to yield that I yielded at that service. There were some barriers that I overcame, and there were some walls that fell flat. Oh yeah. Somebody's going to have to let the soul speak to you. You've been listening to the prince of this world long enough. You've been listening to other spiritual influences long enough. Keeper, it's time you listen to the thing that's going to live forever. Your soul. Don't listen to temporary voices that mark temporary accomplishments and success. But listen to the voice of God that is pleading for your soul's sake. Every one of us will have to give an account for himself unto the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, keeper, is it worth it? Keeper, is it worth being obstinate about? Is it really worth holding on to? Keeper, I'm pleading with you. Is it really worth it? The pride. Is it really worth it? Oh, being able to say, well, this is something that I set out to do, and bless God, I'm going to do it. Oh, is it worth it being hard-headed with your soul? Come on, there were some things this very week that God dealt with me about. Said, you know what? It's taking too much time away from the most important thing. That's your soul. Some of you need to make that decision. Some of you need to make that choice. Some of you need to make up your mind. That's where I'm at. Come on, it's a struggle sometimes, but it's going to be worth it in the end. I said, it's going to be worth it in the end. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. You'll never find happiness in that, but you can find happiness today. You'll never find true joy in that, but you can find joy today. You'll never find true satisfaction in that, but you can find true satisfaction today. Please don't say to the soul, take thine ease. Rest, relax, quit bothering me. I wish I could drop a mic down in the heart of each and every individual here and let the soul speak loud. Let it ring clear. Soul, I'm going to give you a chance today. I'll give you a chance today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, it's been a long time since we had a service just like this. But you know, we've been needing it for a long time. We've been needing it. Oh, yeah, and I hope this is not something that is so infrequent. I pray to God that conviction would come back to God's house. This is what brings change in the lives of people. This is what turns folks around. Hallelujah. Oh, some of you on a collision course. Collision course. Destruction. Oh God. Thank you, Jesus. You better let the soul speak. Oh yeah, keeper. You better listen. God sent you a preacher. You better hear it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you're done praying, I'd like for you to find somebody to pray with, because there's others that are still praying, and I plead with you, church, to help me. Help me find somebody nearby and pray with them. Pray with them. Because it's a struggle. I acknowledge this is one of the big fights. This is one of the things that we all have to wrestle with. It's a big war that goes on. It's a big war that goes on. It's a big struggle that takes place. Oh, God. We have to win this battle, church. We have to. We don't have a choice. There's souls that are hanging in the balances with what I'm talking about. We have to do it. I can't let it go. I can't just be dismissive of it. I'm sorry. I can't just say, well, I tried. I can't do that. I'm sorry, I just can't afford to say that I preached and it was up to them. And I'm going to pull. I'm going to pray. I'm going to agonize. I'm going to beg. It'd be worth it if I had to embarrass myself and beg people today. If you made heaven, it'd be worth it. If you got some things straightened up, it'd be worth it. If you reconciled some things, and if you let the keeper be stirred up and took charge of your soul again, took responsibility again and said, you know what, I've drifted too far. I've allowed myself to get away from it. And I don't feel the peace that I used to feel. And I really... Though I've been grasping and I got all the status symbols, I really don't feel the joy that I used to feel, if I'm honest. Life has become so complex. Oh God. You better take charge, keeper. You better get a hold of the reins. You're letting it riotously get away from you. You're letting it run. Oh, but it's going to run out. It's going to run out somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. I would to God that a lot more folks would be in here in this service this morning. I would to God that I was able to appeal to a much vaster audience. Oh God, hallelujah, lift up your voice to Him right now. Lift up your voice to Him right now. The preacher's crying out to the keeper.